Look at that. I'll jump in while there's a little lull in conversation. Please grab a Bible in front of you or behind you. And you will want to turn to page 1149. 1149. Always feel like a bingo caller when I'm saying a page number. I haven't got much to offer for a full house. We're looking at James chapter 5, passages up there, verses 1 to 6 this morning. Just to say welcome, if I've not met you before, my name's Jenny. I'm so glad that you're with us this morning. We are going to continue in our series in the book of James, surprisingly. Okay, has everyone got it who needs to find it? Yeah? Okay. So, I have a sour lemon flavour lolly as a prize. Desperate times, cost of living crisis and all that. This is yours if you can tell me, according to the 2022 Forbes real-time billionaires rich list, who was number one on the list? Gary put his hand up, so Gary, this is yours. You ready? Catch. Oh, nearly. Okay, I've got a sour cherry flavour lolly. Sorry, the answer was Elon Musk. I think it might have been maybe before he bought Twitter, probably still number one after he bought it. Can anyone tell me roughly how much he's worth before he bought Twitter, probably? Now, let me give you a clue. It's the billionaires list. That's a clue. 200. Do you know? Yeah, you can have it. It was actually $219 US billion. That's a lot of dollar, isn't it? So if anyone don't actually know who I'm talking about, it's this guy here. Mr. Elon. He's just purchased Twitter. Looks like a star there. Okay, we are going to continue in our series. I'll probably take that off because it might be distracting. I've found another lollipop, but I haven't got a question. So, Suzanne. Oh, sorry. My throat's too good. Okay, we are going to continue looking in the letter of James. Now, James goes on in this passage that we're going to look at this morning to address wealth and rich people. But it's not the rich people that are in the Forbes rich list. It's rich people that are in the church. That's who he's writing to. And so we heard last week when Mike spoke, chapter 4, verse 13, kind of where we finished off, that people were losing sight of God's provision for their lives. And they planned to go to the city and make loads of money and do business. And it's to those people that James is speaking to. Now, given that I've said that James is speaking about wealth, you might be sat here this morning thinking, wealth, I've not got a pot, you know, to put stuff in. Or maybe you're thinking, you know what, like, I've got money, but I'm not really rich. Or maybe you're thinking, Corey, here we go, I better buckle up for this one. Like, regardless, my prayer is this morning, actually, let me pray. Father God, I pray, regardless of our situation when it comes to wealth and money and possessions, that you would give us open hearts and open minds to hear how you might be encouraging us and challenging us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So James is going to show in this passage the pitfalls that are there for us, regardless of whether we've got loads and loads of money, Elon Musk kind of money, or whether we've got a little bit less than that. Okay, so this is James chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. He says this, "Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming to you. Your wealth has rotted and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded your wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you have failed to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the innocent one who was not opposing you. Okay, so James kicks off verses 2 and 3, condemning the rich for stashing their wealth. He says, verses 2 and 3, it's rotted, it's corroded, and it's been eaten by moths. Now, James's words there kind of ring true of Jesus's words in Matthew when he's talking on the Sermon on the Mount. And he says this, Jesus says, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Can you see the similarities between James's words and Jesus's words? Jesus, when he encounters the rich young man, says to him, you've stored up all your wealth, Luke 12, you are a fool for stashing your wealth. Why? Because our earthly comforts are fleeting and they're fragile. Now, I don't know how many people have got silver earrings, ladies or men, but if you leave your silver out for too long, it kind of goes a little bit of a funny colour. I had that on Friday. I went to put in a pair of earrings. I'm like, oh, what colour even are they? And so you've got to kind of like buff them with a funny silver cloth. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Just me, Sally and Scott. Oh no, a couple more nods. Thank you. Okay, so whether your gold and silver is being tarnished, James is saying, or whether your grain is rotting in the stores that would have been stored in, or whether your lovely fine woolens are being eaten by moths in a cupboard, it is all evidence that it's been stored for far too long and your stuff hasn't been cared for and it's not been used in a way that it should have been. And James warns in verse 3 that evidence, that's going to be evidence against you on a day of judgment, that you have not used your wealth in a way that you should have done. Now, James doesn't say in verse 1 for the rich people to weep and to wail because God is against wealth. He isn't. James mentions in chapter 2 Abraham in the Old Testament and says how righteous he was, like how good his life was in the eyes of God. And he was a very, very wealthy man. He had loads of livestock, loads of silver, loads of gold. James is saying, weep and wail, cry out for how you've misused your wealth because you're going to stand before God. Now, James, he doesn't go on to explain like why the people have hoarded their wealth. Why have they stored it up in verse 3 for the last days? But it seems like it goes beyond the rich people being good stewards, stewarding their wealth well. And I wonder for us here this morning, how often do we say that we're saving for a rainy day? Or do we say that we're being a good steward with the money and possessions that God has blessed us with? And actually, it just masks our desire for comfort. And it masks our desire, our fear of what might happen if we don't have the security blanket of wealth and of money and of possessions. See, the thing is, there's always reason to stash our cash. There's always reason to have lots of possessions. We live in a world that says enough is never enough. There's always more to be had. That's why you read about lottery winners who have won millions of pounds. They carry on playing the lottery like it's madness because enough is never enough. James is saying that all of those people will face the reality of God's judgment in verse 3. And so what is the alternative to stashing our wealth? Well, time and time again throughout Scripture, it says things like it says in 1 Timothy 6:18, it says, be generous and willing to share. The complete opposite of stashing your wealth for yourself. See, our priority should be what Jesus says in Luke 12, to use our wealth to build up treasure in heaven where it can't be destroyed. So investing in something that will last into eternity, investing in God's mission in this world. See, because when we stash our cash and our possessions here on earth, it means diddly squat for eternity. And so James is challenging us to build in a way that will outlast this world and will continue into the next. And that's why throughout Scripture it says, give to the poor, you know, invest in the kingdom of God, in projects and people, share the good news of Jesus. And so let me ask you this morning, regardless of how much you have got, are you guilty of hoarding your wealth? What do you do with the rest of your money after you pay your bills? When was the last time you really had to sacrifice something that you wanted so that you could give money to God's purposes? James continues in verse 5, condemning the rich for, look, living a life of luxury, extravagant comfort and self-indulgence. So he's condemning them, he's being down on them because they're living a life without self-denial. And look, he paints an amazing image. Look at verse 5, and he talks about cattle, or I guess this time of year, turkeys, who are eating extra meals and they're getting fatter and fatter and fatter by the minute. But all the while that they're having that kind of extra food, extra meals, getting fatter, they're actually just bringing themselves closer to the slaughterhouse. Because actually for the lean cattle and for the lean turkeys, they're not going to get slaughtered anytime soon. The ones who haven't overindulged will be spared. And there's a warning there that living in extravagant comfort, that actually you're forgetting that slaughter, and verse 5, the day of judgment awaits. And that's the time when you and I will have to stand and give an account for how we fattened ourselves up. Maybe some of us literally, but some of us, you know, like metaphorically. And look, how countercultural is that? You know, we live in a society that says, indulge yourself, go on, treat yourself. You know, this time of year where it's luxury everything, luxury mince pies, luxury Christmas cakes, luxury turkey. It's just a life of self-indulgence. And so for us, what does luxury and self-indulgence look like? And it will probably be different for each of us. But like, how many TV subscriptions do I really need in my house? Do I really need that new phone? What car do I really need to be driving? How expensive does my food and drink really need to be? Do I need that new coat, that new pair of shoes, that takeaway, that experience? Like, friends, what are we actually spending our money on? And let me suggest that we probably aren't in the best position to answer that ourselves, and we might need someone to come along and help point out our blind spots. But James sounds like he's saying, keep a rein on your luxury spending, because whilst it's comforting you, actually it's making you spiritually fat. It's fattening you up and not in a good way. And so what would a more simplistic way of living really look like for you and for me that isn't luxurious, that isn't self-indulgent by God's standards? James, in the midst of those verses in verse 4, he ties wealth and justice together. So have a look. The rich who are in a position of power. So in James's time, it was the landowners. They were failing to pay their labourers, the people who were proper breaking their backs for them, their adequate money. They weren't getting paid what they were due for the job that they did. And James is giving a really stark warning there. Do not exploit or oppress those who are under your care. Now, that is a theme again throughout the Bible. So Deuteronomy 24, don't take advantage of people who are working for you. Leviticus 19, don't hold back wages that people are due. Luke 10, pay a worker what they're due. James is saying, don't acquire or add to your wealth at the expense of somebody else. And then look at verse 6, murdering innocent people who aren't opposing you. I mean, that sounds like Judas when he gained wealth at the expense of someone who was innocent, that being Jesus. And it's so easy when our trust is placed in our wealth that the product of that is cheating and selfishness and indulgence and ripping people off so that we get a better deal. And look, when James is talking, he's not talking to big businesses and big corporations. He's not talking to Amazon, for those people who hate Amazon for the way they treat their workers. He's talking to individuals. He's talking to you and he's talking to me. He's talking to the believers at the time. And he's saying, if you're an employer, and I don't know how many people we've got that employ people amongst us, if you're an employer, Or even if you hire someone to clean your house or you pay someone to come in and do DIY, don't exploit them. Don't act in a way that makes them cry out against you. And so we're to take our responsibility seriously if we're in that position to pay proper wages and to pay our bills on time, to be honest in all our financial dealings. For those that have been and are at the receiving end of that kind of injustice, maybe you've worked for a company or for a person who has exploited you. Maybe you currently are in that situation where you're being exploited. Know this, verse 4, your cries have been heard by the Lord Almighty. And he will pay back the people for the way that they've treated you. And so the people who are powerful and do the exploiting, they will be completely powerless when they stand before God, the all-powerful one, and are judged. And so for us this morning, friends, like I'm not being funny, but this is like it feels like a really weird passage to be speaking on, because so often we don't talk about money and wealth and possessions in any form of meaningful way, by and large. And it is really my hope that as we look at this part of James, that God convicts us where he needs to, but more than anything, that we start to have conversations at home, that we start to have conversations in our Bible study groups, in our home groups, in our prayer triplets, where we actually start wrestling with this stuff, because this stuff matters. These are like harsh words that James is serving up. And so whatever our income bracket this morning, James challenges us in this way. Don't stash your wealth. Don't hoard it. The opposite, give it away. Don't indulge yourself. Don't live a life of luxury. The opposite, live simply. And in our dealings, act justly. And so how are we doing with that this morning? How are we using our own individual wealth? When was the last time we reviewed how much we give away? What have we got laying around our house that we could bless somebody else with? What are we hoarding in our bank account that actually just needs to be given away? And I don't know about you, I need God's help in that. You know, like God stripped me away of my greed and my comfort and my fear. I'm just really aware, kind of talking about wealth, and James is talking about wealth, that we're living in a time where the cost of living crisis isn't some theoretical thing, it's actually a really real thing. And for some of us, maybe more than others, we're really experiencing that in a real way. And so if in kind of talking about wealth and stewarding our wealth, if that's been quite difficult because you're thinking, gosh, like I'm struggling to pay the bills and to buy my food, then I'd really, really encourage you to come and talk to someone from the leadership team. We really believe that God meets our needs. It says that in Matthew chapter 6, and I think often God does that through one another. Or maybe you're struggling because you're actually up to your eyeballs in debt and it looks like there's no way out. Just to say, we've got people within our church who are trained to help you if you're in that situation. And there's actually no shame in struggling. There's no shame in being in debt. And please come and talk to us and we can try and help in a really non-judgmental way. Let me close with this. 1 Timothy 6 verses 17 says this. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor put their hope in wealth, because it's so often uncertain. But tell them to put their hope in God, who richly provides with everything for our enjoyment. Now there's some guy who says this. He says, money cannot save you from tragedy or give you control in a chaotic world. Only God can do that. Don't know about you, but it seems like our world is pretty chaotic at the minute. Friends, if we put our hope in our wealth, in what we have or in what we want, It will never, ever satisfy. Never. But if we put our hope in God and put our trust in God, we will know the love, the joy, the peace, and the forgiveness that no amount of wealth could ever provide. Let's pray. God, thanks for the reality, first and foremost, that actually if we put our hope and our trust in you, you will never disappoint. And forgive us and forgive me when we've put our hope and we've put our trust in wealth or in desiring to obtain wealth and get wealth. Forgive us for the times when we've just hoarded it. Forgive us when we've been self-indulgent and we've lived a life of luxury that you haven't asked us to live. Forgive us for when we've treated other people who are in our financial care in a way that they should never have been treated. And God, help us. Help me to live a life of simplicity, to live a life of generosity, to live a life where I act justly towards somebody else. Yeah, God, we need you. And so I pray that you'd stir within us and continue conversations and begin new ones about our wealth, that it wouldn't be kind of boastful, but actually how we can really manage our money and our possessions in a way that would honour you and make you look good, you know. In Jesus' name, amen.